This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jimmy Butler, now Curry off a screen. Head fake, dribble drive, down the lane, stops. Triple team throws it away, threw it right to Brooks. Another breakaway for Houston. Goes up, strip, whistle, and a foul by Butler. Brooks goes tumbling over, and he's going to shoot two.
But the Warriors have made a mess of this last 90 seconds.
As well as they finished the first half of game three.
Yep.
They're finishing as poorly here in game four. Good hustle by Butler, though, to put Brooks on the free throw line.
Now back to the morning roast with Joe Spadoni.
You're weak, you're out of control, and you become an embarrassment to yourself and everybody else.
And Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Draymond Green doing his best Paulie Walnuts impression yesterday. Being an instigator. You see that early on, Joe, when they were huddling up the Rockets yesterday. Draymond tried to insert himself in there.
Oh, I love this song.
Because it's all time.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. And I'm talking to you, Jalen Green. I'm talking to you, Dylan Brooks. Just a bunch of gibberish.
No boats, no snowmobiles, no skis.
Don't forget about Draymond Green. You know, look, the guy gave us the full experience yesterday. Oh, my God, he's unhinged. He's going to get suspended.
Shocked you talking
to me.
He's
going to get attacked. He's gonna jeopardize this game.
Absolutely, you know, incredible.
I thought he was ejected from the game after the Tari Eason play, although I will defend him on both of them. I thought it was a reputation tech on the front end where he actually was separating people. Like, I know, me, Joe Shasky, defending Draymond. I am here to do it. I'm not a homer. I have traded him away 10,000 times. I have ripped him for some of the other shenanigans, the goonery, whatever you want to call it, the extracurriculars. Mm-hmm. I will defend him for both of them. And then the second one, when we got tied up with Tari Eason, like, his feet landed on the top of Eason. I know, it's his feet always land on the top of someone. But he was twisting around. Eason said, get off me. He grabbed him like, don't do that, which I saw both ends of it. That's a blown whistle. Separate it. Let's keep it moving.
Okay.
I didn't think it warranted a flagrant or a tech.
I think the second one, if anything, it would have been a double tech for me. But the first one, as you mentioned, I don't know why he got one at all.
Where's Ime Udoka's tech?
Right.
He's the one getting onto the floor, getting into the mix of players jostling. Why is Ime Udoka allowed to be on the floor?
By the way, Ime Udoka, I think after two smoked free throws from Alperen Şengün, was just like, they just put the camera on him. He was just smiling ear to ear. I was like, the most frightening smile I've ever seen in my life from that guy. He shouldn't smile. By the way, you are listening to Spadoni and Chasky in the Morning Roast, and we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. 888-957-957, the number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Dave in South City will get to you in a second. I do have to mention this news because not only did the Warriors win, Joe, they're up 3-1 in their series, a game away from advancing to the second round of the Western Conference playoffs. They're rolling. We got Jimmy Butler. We got Draymond Green. We got Stephen Curry. And now we get to keep George Kittle in the Bay Area. You know why? Because he signed a new contract worth $76.4 million, an extension over there, $40 million guaranteed, and the annual average of $19.1 million in new money makes Kittle the highest paid tight end in the NFL now. And I'm just going to say in the history of the NFL, because there you go. So Kittle stays. Yay. Kittle, never a doubt, right? We got Kittle staying here in the Bay. Let's go.
Yay. Anybody who's complaining about George Kittle getting his money, $35 million guaranteed.
Is there really people complaining about that?
Well, no. Like, I look, is it risky? Of course. Every player that you pay is risky.
Yeah.
You just gave $40 million guaranteed to Javon Hargrave, who no one had any, he had no sweat equity with the organization at all.
No.
If all the players, if you're going to overpay for somebody, let's just say hypothetically in this scenario, it better be somebody that is beloved, who's an all-time player, who's probably going to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I'm okay with them paying George Kittle. Of all the contracts they've given out, it's the last one I'm going to be nitpicking.
No, I'm with you on that. The guy was a stud. Tremendous leader. Thrilled. On and off the field. He's been a great ambassador for the league, I want to say, as a whole. He's in every single commercial you see. He is one of the faces of the NFL. They cannot get enough George Kittle, excuse me, with WWE. But specifically with this team, and I keep going back to the Devondre Campbell thing, like, that was a leader when he stepped up. During that whole thing, that whole debacle, when that was one of the worst teammate situations I've ever seen, refusing to play, going on the field, George Kittle called him out immediately after the game, saying that sucker behavior, that's a guy I can gravitate to. Offensively, defensively, it doesn't matter. He deserved to be rewarded. Now reward Fred Warner. You're going to pay Brock Purdy. Get all this drama out of the way, and let's focus on some football here in a couple months. But in the meantime, we are talking about the Golden State Warriors because it is basketball season, Joe. So I just wanted to mention that, though. George Kittle got paid. It's a great day in the Bay.
It's a great day. And one last thing on this. If you're going to sign Brock Purdy, you better give him his safety blanket, which is George Kittle, right? You gave Brandon Ayuk twice the amount of guaranteed money, and he's been like a third of the player. And I like Brandon Ayuk. I do. I like Brandon Ayuk. So, look, this is a great day. This is a great day. 85 stays in the Bay. 85 gets re-upped. You have your number one target for your quarterback. He fits the environment. He's a team leader. Like, even if he ages a little and he doesn't, you know, have the same exact impact, you're paying for the leadership. You're paying to unify the locker room. You're paying to prove it that you're keeping your own. I love this move.
Speaking of leadership, and I love that word right now because I think, not that it was lost on this team, because Steve Kerr is a leader. He's proven. Stephen Curry is a leader. It's been proven. Draymond Green is a leader, but I think his leadership from the fan base has been in question these last few years, given everything that's taken place, the indefinite suspensions. Jimmy Butler on this team has been a tremendous leader. And it's not something I say lightly, considering the narrative surrounding him when he was first acquired a couple months ago was that he was a horrible leader, that he was a bad teammate, that he was all of those things baked into it. Now, I think that is still somewhat true from a Miami perspective. If you were to go to Miami, those things happened. It went down that way. It is what it is. That's their story, and that's their thing. But since he's been a Golden State Warrior and been with the Warriors, he's been nothing but excellent. On and off the court, inside and outside the locker room, the media, he's been funny. He stepped up in a way yesterday that, and it is playoff Jimmy, don't get me wrong, it is playoff Jimmy, but him talking that talk to Dylan Brooks, the way he was doing it in his face and in his grill, and then backing it up on the court, made him already, to me, a Warrior playoff legend, just in that one game. If nothing else happens, I will have that moment to look back on with Jimmy Butler going right at Dylan Brooks for that sucker, you know what, behavior, and balling and getting that key reboard and getting a key bucket. That was a leader yesterday that I saw from Jimmy Butler. When the other leader, Stephen Curry, he didn't have it offensively. That's okay. That's why you got Jimmy Butler. What did we talk about when they first acquired him, Joe? And I told you, this could be the best playoff performer in the Golden State Warriors. Like, this could be your 1A, 1B situation. A lot of people are like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is Stephen Curry country. I know. I don't say that lightly. Jimmy has shown, whether you've watched the Miami Heat or as a Golden State Warrior, when push comes to shove, he's going to make the winning plays. He did yesterday.
He had the left-handed layup, which was ridiculous. He had, five free throws, which were all mandatory. They weren't like, oh, you know, I hope you hit these. No. Have to hit them. And then three big rebounds down the stretch. He affected winning on every single level.
Leadership, man.
And he drew fouls. Throughout the bulk of the game, you know, the guy is, he's such an interesting person because if they try to make this deal, and I put it out there like, hey, none of us knew we wanted Jimmy Butler, but now that we're here, I can't envision a life without him.
I wanted Jimmy Butler. Okay. On the Warriors. I did. I don't want to be that guy. I was the guy saying, I don't know if Kevin Durant's going to want to come back here. He didn't. I think this mindset that he instilled in this team was desperately missing from the Golden State.
He helps them in areas that they need help. Rebounding, a second playmaker in the half court. I'm talking about be able to facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the free throw line. A toughness. There's just a toughness level to him. Not that KD's not tough. They're just very different players. And I think that the way that he's shifted the floor in terms of spacing has made it a little more unique. And I think that it's allowed other players to thrive, like Quentin Post.
Right.
Because the spacing, now you have more guys that are able to operate on the perimeter. I actually think, in a weird way, he's better for Pajemski, too. Pajemski's gotten more open looks from three-point land. But again, Pajemski would have been able to adjust to KD. But here's the thing. Had he not made it so ugly in Miami, I think a lot of people are like, well, they should have made this deal a year and a half ago. It would have cost twice the cost. And a year and a half ago, they weren't ready to deal him. He needed to make it ugly. As you see Giannis dealing with the Milwaukee situation that he's got, a lot of players aren't willing to make it get ugly. And there's going to be a 30 for 30 someday about Jimmy self-sabotaging his way out of Miami and basically turking his value at whatever it was, 100%, and cutting it in half.
Oh, well, if
the cost to deal for him was half of what it would have been a year ago.
Well, and you're on fire. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Like, there's going to be a 30 for 30 if this whole thing ends up in another championship. Even knock on wood, it does. Even if it doesn't. But if it does, it's going to be all in that Warriors doc, that dynasty doc. It's all going to be a part of it. And the Jimmy Butler story is going to be a massive piece of it. You mentioned something there that I thought was interesting. You brought up Brandon Pajemski. He's like, yeah, he would have been able to, you know, play with, you know, Kevin Durant. But all the other things with Jimmy Butler is why he's perfect for a guy like Pajemski, because not that Pods is going to be Jimmy Butler, but it's all the things you want from Pajemski that you see in Jimmy Butler. The ball distribution, right? Knowing where to be on the floor. He's not going to be the defender. He doesn't have the size. He can't be the defender that he is. No. But I saw some of that defense yesterday, one-on-one on Fred VanVleet, a guy that's smaller than him in stature. That huge block that he had as Fred VanVleet's trying to, you know, dribble drive, penetrate. Just huge, massive block. That's Jimmy Butler. That's his effect. You saw Jimmy Butler when he was out last game. What was he doing? He was coaching up Buddy Hield. He was getting on Buddy, saying, hey, you need to do this. He was doing it with Kuminga when Kuminga got the start. That is what we're missing in Golden State, a little bit of that. Not to say we weren't getting it with Draymond and Steve. I think there is something about a different voice, though. And in life, sometimes you need an outside voice to give you a different perspective on things, and it hits harder in a different way. I don't know how to explain it or quantify it.
I agree.
But outside voices are needed sometimes, and this was an outside voice that was needed, and now he's become an inside voice because he's a part of the team. And again, I think he's a Warrior legend just for that game alone yesterday and talking that talk with Dylan Brooks. Now you become more of a legend, if you will, if you actually do the whole damn thing. And that was a huge step in doing it. I do think it was poetic, before we go to the calls, before you respond, Joe. I do think it was poetic yesterday, though, the way the Miami Heat season ended on the same day the Warriors have their biggest win.
There's no doubt.
In a few years in the playoffs, and basically put a stamp on that round one series as Miami is getting absolutely blasted. The end of the first quarter in Miami yesterday, 43-17. The game was over in the first quarter.
And Jimmy doing it with playoff Jimmy activated while he's compromised.
Yep.
And Steph's not playing great.
Yep.
And Draymond's got foul trouble, right? And I'm telling you, the play of the game for me, I know I'm railing on the officials. I would have put it as a flagrant one. So I'm admitting that on the front end. When he fouled Dylan Brooks in transition, I loved it. That was old school. Like, okay, we're losing the war here in terms of like the physicality. I'm going to give you a hard foul and I'm going to foul you in transition. And it was on the arm, not on the head, not on the shoulders, on the arm, old school style, backyard style. And Dylan missed both free throws. And I know their close to that half was horrible. Mm. Steph had horrible turnovers. Jimmy had a bad turnover. Paz had it was bad. That foul to me was the signal being sent. We're not backing down. And Jimmy looked so compromised in the first half. Then in the third quarter, you could feel he was a man on a mission and he was going to make plays. Him and Pods had a couple of sequences where they were kind of playing a two-man game and Pods kept relocating for the wide open three. And he was feeling it.
Nick in Berkeley, Dave in South City, we'll get to you in a second. I want to hear from Jimmy Buckets. I want to hear from all this great sound after the game, by the way. This was walking off with TNT yesterday, their broadcast, sound courtesy of them. Jimmy Butler asked how we got through the game physically.
On a game that we didn't know if you'd play or not, you played nearly 40 minutes. I mean, how did you get through it physically and mentally?
Oh, man. Somebody saying something to me. That's all it takes. Somebody to say something to me gets me going every single time.
I take it you won't share it with me.
No. Y'all can, that mic's underneath the goal. You can hear it.
Oh my God.
Hey, maybe we should honestly.
I love him so much.
Maybe we should be thanking Dylan Brooks for
that. I love him so much.
I'm in love with Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler basically credited Dylan Brooks for him, you know, balling out in the rest of that game. Thank you, Dylan Brooks. You know what? We love you here in Golden State.
Jimmy,
the gift that keeps on giving.
Jimmy. Pods, QP. I mean, it was just, God.
Jimmy.
He believed in him all along. Dave in South City wants to join the conversation. God, he's
Dave,
great. Good morning. How are we feeling about that win last night, man?
God, that win was off the hook. I was just like stunned. I thought the whole team showed up in the second half. A lot of three-pointers. Even Curry wasn't on fire. They made up for it. But at this point, I'm predicting Boston and Golden State in the finals. That's my prediction.
I want to finish the Houston series first.
Lock it in.
Before we get ahead of ourselves. I'm not mad at them.
They put themselves in, again, a huge and great position to win this first round series. Teams that are up 3-1 in the history of the NBA in a 7-game series, they're winning it 95% of the time, if we're just going by percentages. So that would be a huge plus. But again, some of those series go 6. I would rather this not go 6. I would rather, just given up what I saw yesterday, the grimacing from Jimmy Butler, and I'm going grimace here, shout out McDonald's. Like, I don't want that to be a thing and lingering like for a couple more games in a couple more days. I don't want that. So take care of business tomorrow. That team's already down on themselves, and the Houston Rockets put them out of their misery, man.
Given that
Old Yeller
was,
them.
Given that Jimmy was like limping, you know, to the free throw line after getting fouled on the three. God, it's just, I can't believe he hit all of his free throws and then comes through with the big rebound. He looked like the guy was going to have to sub out of the game.
Credit Dylan Brooks for giving him that motivation, Joe. Hey, Dylan Brooks might have been the Warriors' best player yesterday. 888-957-9570. We are streaming
Warriors
on Twitch.
Legend, Dylan Brooks.
Yes, exactly. We are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And shout out my Aunt Patty, who's watching on YouTube right now. 70 years old, Aunt Patty. I love you. You're out there in Montana. Happy birthday, Aunt Patty. Nick in Berkeley wants to join the conversation, talk about the win last night. 109-106, Warriors up 3-1, Nick. How we feeling, buddy?
Man, all I can say is, man, we slapping the taste out their mouth. That man was so red hot for them last night. Van Creep, he was hotter than a single chip sandwich, dude. But you know what? We overcame it. Youngsters are contributing, man. For Jimmy Buckets to come back like that, man, on the day when the Miami sent a statement to the ownership saying we don't like the coach or the general manager for trading Jimmy, I guess that's what they did, because you can't lose by 55 points unless you're trying to lose like that, man. I mean, I don't know what it was. They tuned in and then checked out real quick without even watching the show. And I'm just like, I know Buckets is so happy. And right now, man, like if Draymond can just keep his composure and not get tempted, we're doing a great job all season. He's focused. Man, the Warriors are on point, man. If Curry to come after the game, say that statement about Hield, man, and it's just like, you know, it's a tough game and they got to go on the road. And he just crossed the joke, man, that no one has ever heard before. It's the funniest shit ever. And that they're all laughing.
Hey, he was feeling good. It's all right, Nick. 888-957-9570. Hey, that's what we come to expect after big wins, all right? People are feeling comfortable, feeling fired up. You're going to drop some S-bombs and some F-bombs. That happens. It's okay.
It was such a fun game. The anxiety was
always a fun game. Always a fun game.
All I kept thinking was when they had the ball with 13 seconds left and Şengün catches it right there, everyone in Warrior Nation, your entire organs are in the middle of your stomach ready to be thrown up.
Hey, how much did you miss playoff basketball? Like yesterday felt so, like, I know it's been the, but there's just a different feeling of playoff basketball.
It's the best.
And this is what Stephen Curry wanted. He just wanted to be playing in meaningful games, not the play-in crap.
No.
None of that. That's a meaningless game. Unfortunately, it had some meaning this year. It ended up being perfect because he ended up playing the Houston Rockets in the first round instead. And you're up 3-1 on them. So it all worked out. But he wanted to be playing meaningful basketball. Talked about that start of the season, during the season, when it was a slow, after the hot start and it started slowing down, they were mired in mediocrity. Like, that's all he wanted to be doing. And Mike Dunleavy, again, I cannot give him enough credit. We don't bring up his name enough. General manager of the Golden State Warriors. Going out there and making that move for Jimmy Butler, getting rid of Andrew Wiggins, first round pick, making all those trades, the Dennis Schroeder era gone, Kyle Anderson, Anthony Melton. I know, it sounds funny.
I've almost chosen to forget it.
And he's actually been really good with the Detroit Pistons, by the way, Dennis Schroeder.
I know, he had a pass yesterday, the other day in transition. He like threw it.
No, he's great. He's a playoff performer. He is. But it just wasn't right for this team.
Not a regular season performer for the Warriors.
It didn't work for the Warriors. This system is difficult. Yeah. And Dennis talked about that. He's like, dude, it's really hard playing next to Stephen Curry, which makes it all the more crazy how seamless it's been with Jimmy Butler. Like, how many people have talked about how difficult it is to play in this system with that player? And it's been seamless for Jimmy Butler. Why? Why has it been so easy? That's what I guess my question is.
He's such a great player. He's so smart. I mean,
but he's not a three-point shooter. That's why it's funny.
Because he knows how to make the right play. This goes back to IQ. Like, the number. Why has Pods been so successful in this system?
Why? Because he's a high IQ guy?
Yes. Why has Post been so good?
High IQ guy?
Yeah. Like you got to be smart. You have to have instincts. You have to understand how to play in the read and react. And you have to be able to make quick adjustments in-game. And then carry out whatever the game plan is and what it's required of you. Like, there's a reason why Kevon Looney's been on this team a decade. He's smart. You know, what he lacks in physical prowess, he makes up for in IQ. Like, the number one attribute for this team is intelligence. I'm talking about basketball intelligence.
Can we give credit also, when it comes to the intelligence, the head coach, putting Buddy Hield in the starting lineup? Like, that was a big move. Moses Moody had been starting. That starting lineup was at one point undefeated. We were talking about, is this the greatest starting lineup in the history? It's like, everyone relax. It's like a 10-game sample size. But they were really good together. Pods, Moody, Draymond, Jimmy, Steph. That was the lineup. Moody's just not, this isn't a series right now. It just isn't. Offensively, it has been challenging for him, to say the least. Put in Buddy Hield, riding the hot hand. We were talking about that in a given game, Joe. Hey, in a given series, just keep doing it. Hey, get the starting role. An opportunistic defense and him being a willing defender, that has been the most refreshing part. I know that the offense is why he's out there and making the three-point balls, but Buddy's defense, man, I've been impressed. He's got size. He's been using it, and he's no slouch defensively. And it's refreshing to watch.
The thing I slept on with Buddy Hield is actually his effort level is way better than I thought.
Yeah.
He tries really hard. Like, defensively, he can get turned. He can, you know, come way too far out on someone and get blown by. But, like, the whole league is filled with guys like that. The key with him, he actually rebounds better than I gave him credit for. And he gets the loose balls. He has a knack for getting to these loose balls. Does he over dribble? Yeah, he does from time to time. Does he take a couple of heat checkeries? Yeah, he does. But they kind of need him to. And I think that he offsets it with just activity. And I've been very impressed with his effort level, which, again, I didn't see that coming with him.
Steve Kerr talked about it after the game yesterday, the contributions from one Brandon Pajemski and Buddy Hield.
Both guys were amazing. Brandon's big time, you know, second year player, but plays like a 10th year guy. I mean, he's just got so much poise and confidence, and he was obviously a key to everything. And then Jimmy getting to the line 12 times really carried us, especially in that fourth quarter. You know, it was just an incredible performance by our guys against a great team that, you know, gave us everything we could handle tonight. So it's a big time win.
It was a great playoff game. I know everyone's like, it was pissed off that the pace and the officials and all of that, but that's baked into the playoffs. And I love the chippiness. I love the spiciness. I love Dylan Brooks and Steph going at it. I loved all of it. I love Draymond Green trying to break up a team huddle and being that instigator first and foremost. I love Ime Udoka getting out on the court and being angry. I know you hate the guy. I love that stuff, though. It makes it fun, man. I'm tired of buddy, like everyone being friends. I'm tired of that.
I agree with that.
I love Jimmy Butler talking smack to Dylan Brooks. Say what you will about Dylan Brooks. I'll say he's good for the league in this sense. Everyone hates him.
Yeah.
So that's something. The worst thing you could be is just no one cares about anything. It's just indifferent. That's the worst thing you could be when it comes to entertainment. Like, if I would rather people hate me. I get a lot of hate. That's fine. Good. Hate me or love me. Don't be indifferent about me. And so that's what Dylan Brooks is. Everyone hates him. And it was great for the league yesterday. I loved it.
Kerr on the front end said that Pods plays like a 10-year vet.
Mm.
There was a point in time this year where he would dribble into trouble, jump stop, and then pivot into infinity and either throw it away, throw up a poor shot, or the entire possession would be compromised.
Mm-hmm.
Three different times last night, he dribbled into the short corner and then realized, oh, here comes the trap, and either dribbled back out or kicked it out quickly, which got the action going and got Houston scrambling. Those are the subtleties of Pajemski's game that have grown tremendously in the last 2-3 months since his return from the original injury, not the abductor strain, whatever that first one was that he missed 12 games. He isn't dribbling into trouble. And then when he does dribble into trouble, he acknowledges it immediately and either dribbles out of it or passes out of it and then relocates. He's done a great job growing this year. I mean, he really has. Like, I've been very critical of Pajemski at times. I will not question his effort. I will not question his irrational confidence, which is required for him to play alongside these legends. The guy has grown so much in this year. And I think, you know, to Kerr's point, like, he identified it before all of us, and he's lived through a lot of the growing pains. And now you get the birth of a kid who showed up in a big playoff game that you had to have.
You know what I love about Pods too? The showmanship. He loves it. He walks that fine line of arrogance and cockiness and the confidence, all of it. But you love it when he's on your team. And he's still doing the challenge. He just does it all the time now.
Just with the little kid?
Yeah, the little kid behind the bench. I think Matt Nahegan posted it.
Challenge. Doing the challenge thing. And it was hilarious.
Pod,
he had Pod's hair, too. Right, the little, like, whatever they call that.
Yeah, I call it the Mahomes thing, whatever it is. The curly hair, the faux hawk, whatever it is.
Jack Harlow.
Thank you. You got the curls. Yeah, curls for the girls. Am I right? Pod's. Pods after the game on.
Oh heck yeah!
Thank you, Jan, for Jana Mountain View, and sound courtesy of NBC on talk about Chase Center being amazing.
It was electric. Chase was on fire tonight, and we know the odds when we get up 3-1 instead of 2-2. And so to protect home court, and now have to win 1 out of 3. Hopefully we can just get it done on Wednesday. But Chase was amazing. Fans are great. This is crazy.
The other part about Pajemski. It's a really important one, actually. We talk a lot about, like, Kyle Shanahan and how he treats a quarterback. You have to have a specific demeanor and toughness about you to be on Kyle Shanahan's team at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's even more difficult to play on Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green's team.
Ooh.
And to be scrutinized with this fan base and those players, these legendary players, you've got to have a level of bounce back. And some guys kind of, you know, like where if I'm getting yelled at on the court, I just kind of sink. Pods just kind of like doesn't back down. He's like, all right, no problem. And just keeps going. There is something about his demeanor that it's almost perfect. I call it irrational confidence. There's more to it than that. I can't put my finger on it. But to play alongside Dre is tough.
Well, it's what they had when Jordan Poole on that championship run, that irrational confidence, the pool parties, the money time, all of it. He was a showman.
Yeah.
He was a showman. He did. I know how it ended wasn't great. And I know people still like cringe, oh, Jordan Poole. We can talk about it. Jordan Poole was a really good warrior and part of a championship squad that'll be remembered forever. And you need scoring contributions from players like that. Players like Brandon Pajemski, when Steph doesn't have it, how many times, God, the last 2 years, if Steph didn't play well, they were losing.
They were done.
They were cooked.
And if Dre was in foul trouble like he was yesterday, and he sits the entire second half, there's just no chance for winning that game.
These last two games showed you why the Warriors can go all the way through the Western Conference finals, I should say, and maybe even go through them. You had a great Stephen Curry game when you needed it without Jimmy Butler. And then when Steph didn't have it, Jimmy Butler returned and balled out and was your leading scorer. That's the recipe right there. And watch out if both of them are on. That means it's scary hours if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Denver Nuggets or the Los Angeles Clippers, Oklahoma City Thunder, Boston Celtics. If those two guys are on and playing well together and you get contributions from a Pods and a Buddy Hield, they're unbeatable. Well, they are. No, they're unbeatable.
But Joe, they've got to... They got to stay healthy. They need a little bit of rest.
Which is why that win was huge.
Exactly. Like, they're going to have to not get baited into additional texts that could come back and bite you a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now. Like, there's a lot that has to, I hear you, a lot has to go into it. But the difference between 2-2 and 3-1 is monumental.
It's funny you said that because I'm just, you know, I'm looking in the future here. I'm going to my DeLorean and going to the future. Shout out Doc Brown. Potentially awaiting on the other side is some more hilarity, and maybe not to the level of the Houston Rockets, but there is the Stifle Tower.
I mean, it's Gobert.
It's Rudy Gobert. He's awaiting that. And you were all ready for the chokehold. All the videos are going to be showing. Anthony Edwards is no saint in his own right. He's going to try to get under your skin on the court.
Jaden McDaniels.
There's going to be a lot.
And don't forget Julius Randle.
How could I forget Julius Randle?
He's actually had moments against the Warriors.
Well, he's actually been playing sneakily. Not even sneakily. He's been really good for them.
Going back to the Lakers, going back to the Knicks. Yep. He's had a lot of different things with the Warriors.
He's going to be a tough guard. Absolutely. Jimmy Butler's probably going to have the assignment. That's a conversation for another day. As both teams are up 3-1, we expect them to close out those series. But again, do they do it in five? Do they do it in six? Or hell, does one of these teams push the other team to a seven-game series? I think the Warriors would love if the Lakers won tonight to extend that series, because now you can start looking a little bit after you took a commanding lead. And can you take care of business tomorrow in Houston? I would love that.
Joe, the one last element regarding the Minnesota Timberwolves, you do get the A-Rod factor too. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But there is an A-Rod factor to this as well.
There is. I keep posting the meme of A-Rod going nuts. He was at like the crypto arena just yelling on the court. I cannot wait for that.
But I need
Can we get a Joe Lacob versus sitting next to Alex Rodriguez?
I need the Lakers and the T-Wolves to go into overtime for the next three games.
I'll bring out a LeBron jersey for you. You can rock it tonight. You'll be the biggest, as you say, HGH fan. Joel in North Bay wants to join the conversation. Joel was at the game yesterday. Hey, Joel, how was the vibe yesterday?
That crowd was loud.
All I got to start off with is Warriors.
Heard that
channel. But no, hey, guys, it was great. The energy was great. It reminded me a little bit about Rorikel. Don't get me wrong, Chase Center, I don't think we'll ever get to that point, but there was definitely moments where it felt like that vibe was all there. The way the Warriors started at the beginning, defensively, they locked down, got those turnovers, quick points, they went up quick, got on the board. And then when Draymond was in foul trouble, I know you guys already touched base on this a little bit, but Jimmy Butler, man, coming in there and saying, my guy's out, I'm going to step in, I'm going to take over, I'm going to be that bad dude on the court. And he slowed down the game, and he turned it up when it was most needed.
That's Joel in the North Bay. Thanks, right. Joel. Hey, the Warriors' chance, to his point, from start to finish in that game, they were fired up. After that first one, were they up 12 points, like in a blink of an eye? I was like, oh, this is going to be a blowout. And then, of course, you know, in typical Warriors fashion, in typical Rockets fashion, oh, they battled right back, and they have a closing end of the quarter where it's 28-26 Houston. I was like, wait, what? And then Houston builds that lead. They get a 7-point lead at halftime. It's like, oh, boy, here we go again. Warriors bounce back. They win the third quarter, and narrowly win the fourth quarter to narrowly win the game 109-106 to take a commanding 3-1 series lead. But the atmosphere, that is something, man. Hey, Chase definitely has a soul because they've already won a title. Now it hasn't been in Chase Center. Has any of the Warriors titles ever been at home?
2018?
The first KD one.
The first
2017.
KD.
Okay, 2017. I knew one of the KD ones was.
Because it feels like almost always it was on the road for the most part, whether it was in Boston or Cleveland, obviously.
I felt the energy through the TV last night late in the game.
No,
especially in the last 5 minutes.
I felt it. The fan base was engaged from start to finish. There were, as we talked about yesterday, the halftime, there were a lot of empty seats coming back from halftime. But again, that's baked into the playoffs. People got to go to your potty breaks, got to do your food, got to do whatever you got to do.
Concourses are crowded.
No, they're very crowded. It is. That place was packed. It was like sardines packed in a can yesterday, Joe. Let's go to E in San Jose.
What's up, E?
Wants to talk one Jimmy Buckets. What's up, E? What you got, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. I don't know if you remember. I called you last Monday. I called Dylan Brooks baby braids. And I said that if Draymond kept his cool and somebody else stepped up to do what needed to be done, and sure enough, there it was. Jimmy Butler even quoted after the game saying, I don't like Dylan Brooks. He did what needed to be done, put Dylan on his, you know what. Draymond, for the most part, kept his cool. He towed the line. It was close, but he got it. And Warriors in five, baby. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, boys.
Good. No, it should be Warriors in five. That's what you want. You don't want this coming back to Chase Center. I don't want that. Sweep the leg tomorrow. Sensei Crease. All right. Johnny Lawrence. On LaRusso. That's what I want. Is it Danny LaRusso? Danny LaRusso. I just finished Cobra Kai a couple weeks ago. Great series. Highly recommend it on Netflix. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, here's more from Jimmy Buckets. Sound courtesy at TNT. Trying to answer some questions, but he's getting hounded by all of his teammates.
Well, Jimmy, we meet again as your teammates come over to you, just pouring you with love, saying, this is why we got you. How rewarding is hearing that from these new teammates?
It means the world. I die for these guys, for real. It's so fun. I got my joy back, as some would say.
But more than anything, it's always good to win.
Let me go, man. Go back there. Nothing on national TV.
Save that for later, right?
That's awesome. I mean, just... You know, I would die for these guys. Wow. No, that's okay. Like, see how love that guy is? This guy was enemy number one.
I can't believe it.
8 months ago. It was on ESPN. It was everything. Jimmy Butler, Pat Riley, Jimmy Butler. Oh, they hate each other.
So toxic. Only the Phoenix Suns and the Warriors wanted him.
He was wearing Phoenix Suns Kevin Durant shoes to try to force his way out of there.
As happy as we are, isn't he also as happy, if not more?
Did you just hear what he said? I got my joy back.
It's incredible.
He's having fun playing basketball again.
It's incredible.
By the way, Ian San Jose referenced it. He was asked by Anthony Slater, our guy Anthony Slater, will join us tomorrow, of The Athletic, covers the team at a very high level. He was asked about Dylan Brooks and the chirping.
You've said people start talking to you. Are you talking about Dylan Brooks?
Yeah. Yes.
Anything you want to share that he said?
No. I mean, I like it. I think we all like when people start chirping. It's been this way this entire series. I don't think it's going to change. And we're going to go out there, we're going to compete, and we're going to go do what we're supposed to do in Houston.
And then he obviously had said, yeah, I don't like that guy. I don't like Dylan Brooks. It's like, but he liked the chirping because you know what? It brings something out of it. Like, that is what the Michael Jordans of the world, not saying he's Michael Jordan, but that sort of mindset.
Well, there are rumors.
Well, I know. Stop. That he's his son. I know. I think I've seen the Anthony Edwards one too, where they put the faces together where it looks just like Jordan. I know. Relax.
Well, the internet.
Yeah, I know. It's funny that it's Anthony Edwards. I'm not going to go down that road. Anyways, but talking about Jimmy Buckets in this regard, the mindset, right? You don't want to poke the bear. And Dylan Brooks has a history of doing that. Whether it's to Steph, whether it's to LeBron, whether it's now to Jimmy Butler, is he ever going to learn his lesson? I guess is what I'm asking.
No, but that's what he does. Like
what's unfortunate though, real quick on that
of his game.
You know what's unfortunate, real quick? I think Dylan Brooks has actually had a really good series.
No, he's been. I would say their most consistent player outside of Shane Gilmore.
I think he's been really good offensively and defensively. A little bit better defensively. That's what he's known for. But efficiency's been there for him offensively. But no one's going to be talking about it because he's doing all the other crap. That's why. So that's what, and I get it. Well, that's what hangs his hat on. It worked a little bit, and the Warriors.
I mean, he got Draymond off the floor.
Sure, but he poked the bear in Jimmy Butler, and he eviscerated them later.
That's true.
That is what you are going to do when you play with fire, and you're Dylan Brooks. You try to pump your own team up? No. You have too many young players on your team right now. That shouldn't even be a factor. They should be up for this already. Like, their juices are already flowing. Like, there is something to be said, and there's a lot to be said about the experience factor, but especially when you have the likes of Draymond Green, Stephen Curry, and Jimmy Butler. How many playoff games and playoff moments do they have combined?
There's so many of them.
Yeah, thank you, Joe Horn. They have, like, hundreds and thousands of playoff minutes allocated to those three guys alone. And I love Fran VanVleet, and he showed up yesterday, and he showed why he's a playoff performer, and he was a champion and a one-time All-Star. He showed out yesterday. Alperen Şengün, I think, showed why he was an All-Star. Steven Adams in this series has shown why he has had big moments in playoff series. Outside of that, the rest of those guys came up small. Dylan Brooks, I thought, was good, but Amen Thompson, they needed that a couple games ago. Not in that game yesterday.
Yeah,
they needed
22. That. He's in his second year.
Jalen Green? Inconsistent, man.
No, like, I would agree.
That's
there.
A guy that I'm scratching my head out going forward, saying, yeah, maybe I should look at Jabari Smith off the bench. Maybe he should get a starting role a little bit more and go even bigger, if you will, because he's not doing it defensively. If he's not doing anything defensively, he better be scoring. And if he's not scoring, what is he doing? He had 5 turnovers yesterday. 5. Those are killers. Absolute killers.
Well, and he's not understanding his assignment defensively, and Ime benched him.
Let's get to the injury report. Oh, man. The worst fears were confirmed for Oakland's own Damian Lillard when he was diagnosed with an Achilles tear in his left foot. The injury comes a few days after Lillard returned to the court following deep vein thrombosis in his right calf. The injury will, without a doubt, keep Lillard out all of next season, but at age 34, one has to wonder what this could mean for Dame's career as well. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We're halfway home on a Tuesday here as the Warriors are up 3-1. Let's talk about it. 109-106 the final. It's the Morning Rush, 95.7 the game.